for Sanja's murder. Captain, please. It was uncanny. This big, broad-shouldered man was holding out his hands pitifully, begging for mercy from the short, snarling captain who confronted him like a pugnacious badger spitting defiance at a confused, frightened hunting dog. "What's it going to be, Bahadur?" Fuchs demanded. He looked at his two companions. They seemed just as frightened and confused as he was. "I'm going to make your life into an unending hell, Bahadur," Fuchs promised. "You'll pay for Sanja 100 times a day. You can count on that." "No," Bahadur whimpered. "No." "Then get off my ship," Fuchs snarled, jabbing a hand toward the open hatch. "And take your two accomplices with you." Bahadur just stood there, totally whipped. I thought he was about to break into tears. "Now," Fuchs snapped. "Obey or leave. Make up your mind now." It was the woman who decided. Silently, she went to the hatch and started climbing down into the escape pod. The other crewman followed her. Bahadur watched them, then shambled past the captain and disappeared down the shaft that connected to the escape pod. Fuchs went over to the hatch and kicked it hard. It swung over and clanged shut. "Seal it," he ordered me, "before the sniveling little shits change their minds." Shaking inside, I touched the key that sealed the hatch. Fuchs had orchestrated this to the last detail. He wanted Bahadur and his two fellow mutineers off his ship, and he had maneuvered them into going. Wordlessly, he tramped back to the bridge, with me trotting along behind him. He seemed to radiate fury, now that he no longer had to pretend to be conciliatory with Bahadur. He relieved Amar Jagal of the Khan and took the command chair. "Humphreys, takes the communications console." My first impulse was to say it wasn't yet time for my watch, but I swallowed that idea immediately. The captain was in no mood for contradictions, not even delays. I went to the comm console. The crewman, already sitting there, got up, looking slightly puzzled, and left the bridge. "Give me the escape pod," he said flatly. There were three pods on the ship, I saw from the display screen. Before I could ask, Fuchs told me, "They're in number one." I opened the channel. Fuchs spoke to them briefly in their own language, then called out, "I'm initiating the separation sequence in 5 seconds. I tapped the timer. It clicked down swiftly. "Separated," said the other technician on the bridge in English. Before I could ask any questions, the technician reported, "Ignition. They're heading into orbit." "Put them on the main screen, Humphreys," Fuchs commanded. It took me a few seconds to figure it out, and then I saw Bahadur's tense, sweaty face on the screen. He was pressed back into his chair by the acceleration of the pod's rockets. The two others were sitting slightly behind him. There were 4 empty chairs in view as well. "You're on course for orbit," Fuchs said to them. "I understand, Captain," Bahadur answered. Fuchs nodded and turned off his image. I asked, "Should I notify Truax that—" "No," he snapped. "We will make no contact with Truax. It's bad enough having Marguerite query their medical files. No contact."
"But, sir, how will they know that the escape pod is in orbit? How will they make rendezvous?"
"That's Bahadur's problem. The pod has communications equipment. He'll call Truax soon enough, never fear."
"Are you sure?"
"Sir." He gave me a sour look. "What difference does it make?"
I turned my attention back to my duties. In a few moments, though, Fuchs said,
"Give me their course and position."
The graphic showed their trajectory curving up from our altitude through the sulfuric acid clouds and leveling off above the cloud deck into a slightly elliptical orbit around the planet. I punched up Truax's position. They were orbiting on the other side of Venus, out of direct contact. Puzzled, I punched up the extended orbital positions for the pod and Truax. They would be on opposite sides of the planet for 12 orbits before the pod would inch close enough to Truax for rendezvous maneuvers to be started. I told Fuchs about the problem. He shrugged.
"They have enough air to last," he said.
"What about electricity?" I asked. He frowned at me.
"If Bahadur has the wits to unfold the pod's solar panels and align them properly,
they'll have all the power they need. Otherwise, they'll have to go on the pod's internal batteries.
Will that last long enough, Captain?
That's not my problem.
In all fairness, sir, we should notify Truax.
If we do, I'll have to report that those three people are mutineers and murderers.
That's better than letting them die in orbit, sir.
They won't die in orbit, Fuchs said calmly. They won't even make it to orbit.
What do you mean?
He pointed a finger toward the screen on my console that displayed their trajectory. Put that plot on the main screen.
I did, and Fuchs leaned forward in his chair slightly, studying the graph.
I don't think they'll get up through the clouds fast enough to avoid being chewed up by the bugs, he muttered.
They'll only be in the clouds for 20 minutes or so, I said.
Yes, he said slowly. That pod has a pretty thin skin, though. It ought to be interesting.
I watched in fascinated horror as the blinking cursor that represented their pod crawled slowly, ever so slowly, along the curve that represented their trajectory. They were solidly in the clouds now. I remembered how Hesperus had been eaten away by the aerobacteria. But that had taken days. The escape pod would be in the clouds only for minutes, less than half an hour.
It would have been better to fire it straight up and get out and above the clouds as quickly as possible, I thought as I stared at the screen. But to establish orbit, the pod had to be moving parallel to the planet's surface. The only way to do that was to follow a curving course up and over, like the lob of a ball that's being thrown completely around the world.
No, I told myself. You could fire straight up, and once at a high enough altitude, make a course change that moves you into a parallel with the ground. But that would take much more rocket propellant than the pod could carry. They had to get through the clouds more slowly. I only hoped that it was fast enough. I glanced over at Fuchs. He was staring at the screen, too, but grinning slightly. He reminded me of a Roman emperor watching gladiators battle to the death in the arena. Which one will die? Will those three poor, miserable people in the escape pod make it to orbit, to safety? I wondered why I cared. They had killed Sanja. They would have killed Fuchs, too, and me. They were mutineers and murderers. Yet I was worried about them, hoping that they would get through their ordeal alive. Fuchs had no such conflicts. He had known they'd have to get through the clouds. He had remembered the bugs. He hadn't forgiven them for their crimes. This was his kind of justice. The yellow message light started blinking at me. I clamped on the headset and pulled the microphone close to my lips. Then I touched the key that put the message on the small screen on the right side of my console. Bahadur's face was frantic.
We are losing pressure, his voice wailed in my ear. The bugs are destroying the seal around our main hatch.
Put that on my screen, Fuchs commanded before I could turn to inform him.
I did.
Bahadur's chest was heaving, his hands waving up and down.
The bugs, they are eating away at us.
Fuchs said nothing.
We must do something, Bahadur screeched. Pressure is falling.
Behind him, the other crewman and the woman were sitting tensely, safety harnesses crisscrossed over their chests, their faces grim and accusing.
There's nothing to be done, Fuchs said, his voice cold and hard. Just hang on, and hope that you get through the clouds before the seal fails.
The woman burst out in a long string of sibilant words. Fuchs shook his head.
I can't save you. Nobody can.
But you must. Bahadur was on the verge of hysteria, his eyes popping, chest heaving, hands windmilling in the air. If he hadn't been strapped into a seat, I thought, he would have been running around the pod's cramped little compartment like a madman.
You must, he kept repeating.
Turn off the sound, Fuchs said to me. I reached for the keyboard, hesitated.
Turn it off, he snarled.
I tapped the key. Bahadur's frantic pleading cut off, but we could still see his face and the panic in his eyes. There was no telemeter link between the pod and Lucifer. We had no way of monitoring the conditions inside their compartment. But I watched the terror on their faces as their pod flew through the bug-laden clouds. I was holding my breath, I realized, staring alternately at them and the graph showing their progress through the clouds. The blinking white cursor inched toward the up